This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Father, I'm indeed blessed to be in Your presence. You're an awesome God to even give me the opportunity or the privilege to be in Your presence. Thank You for keep on putting up with me. You're an awesome God. Now, if it's going to happen, you're going to have to do it. I just want to be an instrument in Your hands. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen. To Dr. Jones and Sister Jones and to all the faculty and student body, I'm indeed grateful to be here with you again. Amen. In a new capacity, part of your board now. I'm excited and delighted, amen, to be a part of this school. Amen. I'm also excited, just in case you decide not to say amen, I brought my amen team with me. Amen. I brought my wife with me, which Doc have introduced earlier. I met my wife when she was in the sixth grade and I was in the seventh grade. Amen. We've been married 41 years, March 11th. Amen. When I first met her, she was at her aunt's house. Her aunt used to live in my community at the time, and she was asleep. And I saw that long black pretty hair, and I was playing in her hair, and she woke up and hit me. Amen. And guess what? I've been following that black hair for 41 years. Amen. And my two granddaughters, my two beautiful granddaughters are here. We have 11 grandkids and 4 children. And all of my children are grown, I almost said, and gone, but one just returned. Amen? Amen. I'm really excited about being here and being a friend and a partner with our president. Amen? When I first came here the first time, there was some kindred spirit there, and I got the connecting there. And then when they asked me to come on the board, I said, wait a minute, do they have a sense of humor? Amen, come on. And so I go to the first board meeting, don't know what they expect, amen. And I'm the only salt in the pepper in the room. You get that later as you go home, amen. And so I'm sitting there, and all these people, and the spirit in the room was awesome. I felt like I was an equal in the room, and that means a lot to me. Not a token, but a part of the team. And I really cherish that, and I thank Doc for making things conducive for that. And also my good friend, Dr. Rogers, amen. I'm glad that he's the one that's the reason why I'm here today. He introduced me to this school, amen. And so I thank God for him as well. Now, I heard that clock is a demon, and it told me to watch it, but I can't watch demons, I'm sorry. But I'll do my best, amen, and get us out of here. I want to talk about, if you will, and I'm on my way, I want to look at the book of Habakkuk. Amen. Habakkuk is sort of a strange dude to me. Amen. When I get to heaven, I need to talk to him, Brother Rogers, because I want to know, what did you get the nerve to want to ask God some questions? You know, who are you that want to ask God questions? You know, based on your findings and your observations and your own impatientness. Where you come from? Asking God how long? Asking God, where are you? You know, look like you've gone to sleep at the wheel here. And the people, your people, and they're acting all crazy. It looked like you're not going to do anything about it. But one thing I like about this guy, he went to the source. He didn't go to anybody else. He went straight to the source. And another thing I like about him is he didn't try to fix it himself. Somebody ought to help me here. Now, you know, black preachers need some amens, y'all. Come on. If you say amen, I get out of here quick. Amen. But I like this guy. But he's a praying guy. He asks questions. God in the second chapter told him to write the vision, be patient with it. And in the third chapter, there's another prayer coming on. About three prayers going on in this whole text. But what really got me were the last three verses of chapter 3. And watch this. And listen what he says. He says, as he look at the whole dynamics, and as he look at how God is using the enemy to discipline his people, totally confused. How in the world can you use the enemy to chastise your people? Do you know who these people are? This is one of the worst groups that you could ever deputize to bring destruction. These Babylonians or Chaldeans, they come swift. And whenever they come into a territory, they destroy everything. Do you know what you're doing? I'm confused here. Look like to me, you need to leave your throne and come down. Don't send them. Because if anybody can chastise them, you ought to be able to do that. But why would you want to deputize a wicked nation to discipline your people? Let me let you in on something quickly. God will use any means possible to bring his people in line and still be God. Oh, I wish I had time. Because see, let me let you in on something too. Whenever you doing what God has declared you to do and you don't see the enemy, you better get concerned. Because if you don't see the enemy stirring somewhere, it's evident you're not on the right path. But God can use whatever means possible. And so he comes, he looks at the whole dynamics of the situation, because he knows when the Babylonians come, when God released them, it's going to be reckless. I mean, everything destroyed. But watch this. I'm on my way. Watch this. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, now the fruit be on the vine, though the labors of the olive may fail. That's chapter 3, 17 through 19 here. And the field yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Just for a minute, I just want to talk about yet. I want to talk about yet. Without God being the center of our life, we will never move towards the point of yet. Many of us, and help me, hold on with me now, go with me, I'm going somewhere with this. Many of us are afraid of yet. Many of us, yet moves you into an uncomfortable posture. Yet make things strange. Yet causes you to move out of your comfort zone into a zone you've never been in before. You cannot move to yet on your own humanity. No, it would never work. You got to have the divine power of God to move you to yet and beyond yet to realize that no matter what situation you find yourself, God is in the midst of it. Mm-hmm.
There are those whose circumstances would not allow them to move to yet takes us out of our comfort zone, yet takes us in a place we've never been before, yet can solidify our faith. If your faith is shaken, let God take you to the yes of life. Oh, I learned something too that I believe y'all been discussing around here about sexuality. I believe that subject been going on around. A little bird told me that. But can I stick a pin in that for a moment and tell you something and I'm moving on? I learned that our sexuality have a mind of its own. But let the mind of Christ govern the mind of your sexuality. This is only happen when you allow God to move beyond the yet in your sexual moments. Hang that on the hemline of your mind, let the Holy Ghost breathe on it. Because bottom line is, you know, yeah, see, many times we get caught up in situations, get caught up in relationships, and we're so mesmerized with the relationship to forget about God is looking down upon us and can control every moment of our life and we allow him to control it. But allow God to move you to the point where you really trust him, even in your sexuality. Because young ladies and young men, let me let you in on something quickly. You got value, you're a valuable person in the eyesight of God. You was made in his creation. And every day God looks down upon you, he ought to see himself. And you want him to see himself. You want him to be able to look down and say, look at me in the lives of this person and that person, because they're willing to allow me to take them to the point of yet where they trust me, even in their sexuality. Now, I'm moving on from that. But I want to tell you, as I look at this text, I like this guy. I really like him because he's looking at a situation. He know how destitute the situation can come, but he looks at it and realize, first of all, prayer is the most powerful thing that I can do. Prayer will produce the defining moment of your soul. He prays three times in this text. And let me let you in on something. Don't take your prayer life lightly. My prayer life, if it wasn't for my prayer life, hear me, I would probably take a gun to my head. With all the things that I deal with, from one day to the other, from one week to the other, people's lives that I'm involved with, and all of my own personal stuff that I'm dealing with. Bottom line is, if I didn't connect with God every day, every moment, prayer my life, making prayer my lifestyle, hey, it'll be over for me. Your prayer life is important here. The prophet lets us know that when you go to God, God will give you the right answers, even when it don't make sense. But it makes sense to God. So prayer will produce the defining moment of the soul. And Jesus goes, you remember when Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane? Every one of us is going to have them Gethsemane moments. But let me let you in on something. Gethsemane was never intended for you to come out of Gethsemane with your own will. Gethsemane is the place where you embrace the will of God. And Jesus showed us how to do that. Yes, you're going to have those moments. Yes, you're going to have those times. But God will give you the power to move to the point of yet to claim him as God, even in your Gethsemane moments and your prayer life. It's so awesome when it comes to that. Prayer is not an event, not a program, not an activity. Prayer is a lifestyle thing. Don't make prayer at the bottom of the list. It ought to be the priority of your list. Everything about you, you ought to talk to God about it. Because let me tell you something that's very therapeutic when you can do that. Secondly, not only will prayer define the moment of the soul, but there must be a preoccupation of the soul. Chapter 17, if you look at verse 17 here, this brother looks at, talking about, you know, though there be no fruit on the tree not blossoming, no vines, no fruit on the vines, no labors of olives may fail, the field may produce no food, the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stall. He said, wait a minute, I'm used to all of this. I can go to the fig tree and pull off figs. I can go to the fruit tree and pull off fruit. I can go to the stall, and if I want to have some beef, I can, hey, take care of business. But let me let you in on something. I'm so preoccupied with God. My life is so connected with God that even if this disappears, even if this don't be here no more, because my life is not locked in to what I see. My life is locked into what I don't see. And I got a God in me that lets me know that even these things may not be here. I'm so preoccupied with God that even if I can't taste the fig, God will put a taste of figs in my mouth. I wished I had time. You must be preoccupied and so preoccupied with God that you don't get caught up in your circumstance. Because some of us get so mesmerized in the circumstances of life to the circumstances of life governs our life. That's not God's intent. Because they are momentary situations. Don't let momentary situations govern your life. They're only for a moment. But embrace the eternal essence of God. Get so preoccupied with God that nothing interferes with that relationship with God. That even those things that you can put your hands on, even if they walk away from you, you still got God. Even if that significant other in your life that you think is the apple of your eye, if they decide to walk away, what do you do then? I stop by to tell you, when you're preoccupied with God, let him walk. Somebody ought to help me here. Especially if they're going to interfere with your relationship with God, they need to walk. Oh, I did say that, y'all. Oh, I need to let you know, too, I didn't pass the political correctness class. I flunked that class. Amen. Oh, Jesus, help me. Yeah. When you keep your vertical purpose straight, the horizontal pressures will never throw you. Your prayer life, being preoccupied with let your soul be so preoccupied. But then let me let you in on something else as I look into this text. God takes the prophet to, to the pinnacle of his soul, to the highest place, a place where he'd never been before. That's where you want to be. You want to be in a place where you've never been before with God. Not looking at, because if you get caught up in what you see, you'll never get there. But you need to let God be the pinnacle of your soul. He's the one taking you to the highest point in your relationship with him. And let me let you in on something quickly as I move on. A good relationship with God, a solid relationship with God, help me have good relationship with other people. Can I stick a pin in that for a moment? Because let me let you in on something. Relationships in churches are bad. Mm-hmm. We don't know each other anymore. Mm-hmm. See, I've been working for Southern Baptist 30 plus years, and I've been a bridge builder between white folks and black folk for 30 plus years. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I know people. Mm-hmm. And when I first got the job, I said, Lord, do you know what you're doing? Asking me to be the bridge between black folk and white folk? Oh, Lord. Are you real? Because I'm having a problem with black folk. And then I don't know white people. And you telling me that you want me to do the bridge? He said, I prepared you for this. You recall? When you went in the military, after the Vietnam War. Race relations were bad at Fort Benning, Georgia. And I made sure a race relations coordinator. I was preparing you then. And then I called you in the Southern Baptist because I was preparing you to be the bridge builder in terms of relationships. And I want to let you know something. I take relationships very seriously. And see, in order to have that kind of dynamics, you got to have such a relationship with God that it doesn't matter who people may be, you love them anyway. I never met many of y'all in this room, but my heart loves you because I got to have a good relationship with God. If I don't have a good one with him, I don't have one with you. Cut each one of us open, all of us bleed the same. My blood is red. And if you check it out, some of y'all just may be my cousin. Somebody ought to help me here. Oh, I know that may be a scary moment for some of y'all, but I just may be your kidding brother. Hey! And let me let you in on something. If you know Jesus up in here, I am your brother. And guess what? You can't do nothing about it. Because I have that relationship. God has taken my soul to the pinnacle, to the highest point, and he takes our soul there so we have a solid relationship with him, and therefore we have a solid relationship with our brothers and sisters. Then another thing I like about this text is this, that this brother has a doxology, a praise going on. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. If I don't see any of this, all of this dissipates. My relationship with God, when I can't put my hands on it, I can't touch it no longer, I can't feel it no longer, I can't taste it no longer, can't do all those things anymore, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Why would I rejoice? Because my God is the creator of all of it. And whatever I need, he said, I never leave you, not forsake you. He said, I'll be your refuge in the time of trouble. He said, whether shall I go from the spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I sit in the heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is present everywhere. And he said, I know he's present right here, although I may not have these things. But I can praise him. Oh, my friends, if you don't know how to praise God, you better learn how. Because let me let you in on something. Your praise to God is so therapeutic that when you go to praising God and not get caught up in your circumstance, you say to God, God, I trust you with my moments. You said to God, my situation may look bad, but I can't look down on my situation. But I got to look at you who's able to handle my situation. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give glory to your name. I'm going to shout hallelujah. I can't see it. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going to glorify your name because you're worthy to be praised. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You are our God, the great I am. I'm going to praise you because of who you are, in spite of what's going on. I want to give praises to your holy name because you are worthy to be praised. And that boy said, when I praise you, I want to have feet like deer's. That as I move around, every place I put my feet on is high ground. because you'll take me to the mountaintop of my experience with you, because you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God, because I call on your name when I'm weary. I get preoccupied. My soul gets so preoccupied with you. I'm at the pinnacle of my life in my relationship with you. So, Lord, I'm praising your name because of who you are. And so, therefore, I'm walking in high places because of who you are. Walking in great places because of who you are. I look at my life and I'm closing here because the demon is speaking, but watch this. I look at my life and look at where I came from. I came from the ghetto with a capital G. You can't get no ghetto in where I came from. Many people said I wasn't gonna be a count of nothing. I wasn't going to be like my daddy. My daddy was a hustler. My daddy was a pimp. My daddy was a drug head all the way up to his death. But I was determined. And bottom line, I've been in church all my life, but I didn't meet Jesus when I was 25 years old. I met Jesus on a junior college campus, but I've been in church. I played church all those years from the age of 5 to the age of 25. And I asked the critical question, God, why didn't you kill me while I'm playing church? He said, but James, watch this. I save you to be safe. Because I saw something, how faithful you are doing wrong. I can, oh Lord, have mercy. I can convert your soul. And you got that same commitment there. I can make you have the same commitment here. And I want to let you know, it's amazing what God have done. I'm 61 years old. Never thought I would ever live to be 61 years old. I've been all over the world doing what God had declared for me to do, because I'm so preoccupied with him. And I stopped by to tell you, I'm not shouting for you. I'm not giving glory to God for you. This is not a performance. I want to let you know I love the Lord. He heard my cry. He pitied every groan. And long as I live and trouble rise, I'm going to haste into his throne. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. It was the love of God that lifted me. Oh, God's love that lifted me. That's the reason why it doesn't matter what's going on, I can find myself here yet. Because Jesus, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, give me strength to always move beyond yet in my life, because he showed me how to do it. He died on the cross, buried in a grave, but early one Sunday morning, he got up out of the grave and declared, all power is trusting in my hands. Ain't he all right?
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.